This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, who's going to be talking. Well, let me introduce Mary Mortensen and Christy McLaughlin and Christy Holler. You might have read in, what was it, Friday's Argus Leader, the article about losing your pet. And you had a support group meeting Saturday. You're going to have one coming up here on the 22nd. You had one yesterday at the library during St. Patrick's Day. So first of all, Mary, let's start with you on that end of the room and talk to you about the importance of pets and why there is now a support group for those who lose their pet.
I think for a long time, people have cherished their pets. These days, you know, we hear all about pets being spoiled and daycares for pets and massage for pets and acupuncture for pets and all of that. The bottom line is people love their pets. And the natural progression of that love is eventually that pet is going to die. And we grieve when that happens. When a beloved pet dies, it isn't just some farm animal that has died. I grew up on a farm. I know all about that. But it's a friend and a family member that's died. And so these two Christies have chosen to offer an opportunity for people to deal with that. And to talk about that and to talk through their grief and their in how they're dealing with that kind of loss.
Mary, what kind of pets have you had?
Well, my husband and I are dog people. And so over the years, we've had a number of different dogs, two of which we had to have put down. And that was very hard. And another one that at a year old died of a heart problem. And I'll tell you, even though we have other dogs now, I grieve for those dogs frequently. And they enriched my life, and I think they made me a better person.
There's something about a dog taking care of you.
That's right.
And it's kind of sad to not be able to take care of them when that point comes.
The discussion today and around other tables has been that whole idea of the human having to decide sometimes when enough is enough. When it's time to have that dog put to sleep and how very difficult that decision often is.
Christy McLaughlin, you were in the paper as far as Christy Holler in that article. What made you decide to start a support group like this?
Well, actually, it was Christy Holler's brainchild. Mm-hmm. Christy and I were in seminary together. And through Mary's influence, we got reconnected. And just kind of decided we would work well together, and because we are of the same maybe spirit, we thought we would work well together. And so we began kind of conversing about things we could do and needs in the community, and Christy, who has lost a pet recently, and we just decided that would be the best way to go.
And we're not just talking about dogs. We're talking about any type of pet. I guess, how would you define a pet?
A part of your family.
And, you know, it's interesting. I saw a billboard, a marquee on 41st Street a while back. It said, when I call, dogs come, cats have voicemail. And that's how I define the difference, maybe, on some of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a while back, we I was living in a house with both of my daughters and like six grandkids, but we had three dogs, two cats, a ferret, two birds, and two rabbits.
Yay, I like houses like that.
That's not that's not uncommon, though, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, we have a rabbit, we have a bird, we've had the four dogs, we have the cat, we've had goats, we've had the ferret. I had possums when I was younger. I had snakes, rats.
But there's something a little bit different about a dog, isn't there?
You know, I think when you look at a dog, you know, like I said in the paper, the dog is as devoted to you as you are to the dog. A cat, even though there's definitely a relationship with a cat, in some ways a cat kind of looks at you and says, yeah, maybe I'll hang out with you if I really feel like it. You know, so the dogs have a devotion. There's a love and a connection there.
Well, Christy McLaughlin and Christy Holler, you say you both went to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something about a dog. A dog has empathy.
Mm.
In other words, if you're in front of your dog and yawn, the dog will yawn too.
Right. Or if you're crying, a dog mm-hmm. will find you. Or if you're upset, the dog will come to you. Although Christy's cat is now exhibiting those behaviors, mm-hmm. Dog-like behaviors.
Yeah, cats sometimes are a problem when you bring the first baby home.
Right, right.
it's their turf, you know. It's kind of like, Christy, tell us, first of all, I think about Cody, because I knew Cody. I knew yeah. you a while back, and, yeah. and she was a beautiful dog.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about her.
Cody was my best friend, and it was almost as though Cody was an extension of myself, but I would echo Mary that Cody and dogs and pets in general make you a better human being. Or I should speak for myself that Cody made me a better person. My cats tolerate me.
Share space.
And Cody, you know, I spent 10 and a half years with Cody. Cody went everywhere with me, followed me everywhere. But more importantly, Cody understood at any given moment how I felt about anything. In fact, sometimes it was irritating because she knew if I was sad about something, she knew, and I wanted to protect her from my sadness, or I wanted her to always be happy. And then the table kind of turns as they get older, and they're more concerned about your happiness, my cat now exhibits some of Cody's personality, because I think Hans is his name. Hans understood the relationship that Cody and I had, interestingly enough, and he's trying to fill that void. And I notice that more and more each day, that Hans just, I don't know if it's Cody's spirit, if Hans picks up on something, but he... I feel Cody's spirit through Hans and his behavior.
Dogs, they call it man's best friend. That's through the ages. Yeah. Cats we see in the pyramids. There is yeah. a special something about dogs' purpose. More than, you know, they come from the wolf or the that type of thing, but there is something about the domesticated dog that... is necessary mm-hmm. in society. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't a dog, who would we, you know, think of what society would be like without your best friend? Well, getting back to that, Christy, how long ago since Cody passed?
Cody passed away July 17th, 2012. So it's been over a year and a half. At 9:30 a.m., she passed away in my arms.
Well, the house I was describing earlier that had the rabbits and the cats and the birds and all that, they had to go through a divorce, so they had to sell the house.
Mm.
But the very first thing my grandson said was, "But that's where our pets are buried."
Oh,
the yeah. very first thing out of his mouth was, "That's where our pets are buried." I think as adults we look at things one way, but a child... A pet is very special too, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, the your husband Jack and you're in quite a few church activities and societies, that type of thing. Has anyone ever really tried to put down the aspect of a dog? You know, we always tell the kids, "Yeah, there's a doggy heaven." Mm-hmm. I guess in a sense, but there is something more than in a dog and a pet than just the four paws.
You know, I have to say I've never heard a sermon on doggy heaven, but you're right, except, of course, the two women I'm with are both pastors, and they've probably both done sermons on doggy heaven. But it is absolutely my belief that, and it isn't always theologically agreed upon, but it is absolutely my belief that creatures have a spirit. And it is absolutely my belief that a creature's spirit walks into the arms of his creator, just like I believe that about people. And so whether someday we'll ever be reunited with our pets, I don't know. But if you believe that heaven is a place of peace and joy and love, then I can't imagine it being there without the creatures that we loved as well.
Well, here locally, I've heard, I'm not sure where, maybe you do, there is a pet cemetery. Mm-hmm. There's one in
Forever
the area.
Friends, I believe.
And I think there's, you can get them cremated, you can get them stuffed. And again, that's not uncommon. Pets, I think, we're talking this morning, everybody kind of takes them for granted a little bit because they are always at your foot. They're always right, there with you in the bed, whether a St. Bernard or a Chihuahua. How can something that big and that small really, there is something when you look into their eyes mm-hmm. that looks back. Mm-hmm. Christy, I think the support group meeting that you had Saturday, tell us a little bit about that, the people that were there and the fact that they even came. There's a purpose there.
Well, I think the people came because I think sometimes people like us sitting here, like the people who came, like you, I think it's very obvious. Sometimes we feel that that's not validated. That other people in the, I mean, we live in a farming state, like Mary said, it's a farming community, and people, there is maybe a fear that when you lose a pet, that you're not going to be accepted or you're going to be looked at as odd. You know, one of the things I noticed about the paper was I thought, this looks like I'm a crazy animal person, you know? So the people who came feel that way too, that they needed a safe place, they needed a place that would allow them to cry, allow them to express their experiences of the grief, allow them to be in a place that affirmed they've lost a significant presence in their life.
Well, throughout history, again, we see it in Egypt, we see it in all cultures. Roy Rogers had his mm-hmm. horse Trigger stuffed. Lassie, everybody remembers how her fur was always perfect, you know, in the TV show. That relationship between boy and dog was epitomized, I think, in that TV series. But we hear the stories about dogs, even cats, coming from 2,000 miles away, finding their way home. Things that don't have any explanation to them. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wanted to say if they believed in reincarnation, they'd want to come home, probably come back as a dog, I would say. But in a sense, Christy, when you had to say Cody is suffering too much, tell us about that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anyone who comes to that point where they know that something has changed in their pet, that it's not easy to make that decision because you're saying goodbye. You know that it's going to hurt. And Cody was so sick that it was apparent that the compassionate thing to do was to let her go. That last morning, she wasn't able to breathe very well. And so it was not only hard that I knew that I needed to let her go, but also I had to watch her suffering. And so it's not that easy to let go, but also know that you're doing the compassionate thing, which the only thing I could do in the end was I laid on the floor of the examination room on a blanket with Cody, and I held her the way I held her nearly every day. Well, I did every day, her whole life. I thought about the first night that I brought Cody home. She was just a little puppy, and I realized that I'm holding her on her very last day the same way that I held her on the first night that I had her. It was miserable to listen to her last breath, but also I knew that I would have to somehow find the strength to pick myself up off the floor without her and move on. And it wasn't easy, but I made the choice to end her suffering. And
what does the veterinarian say to you when you bring the pet in, knowing that that's what they're going to have to do? Do they give you any explanation of what's going to happen, or how they do it, or whichever?
Yes, and you know that's got to be a tough role mm-hmm. for our doctors to be in, because I asked my doctor, "What would you do?" And how many people have turned that to them? And she explained exactly what would happen, that Cody would not feel anything. She would just know I'm there, and she would go to sleep. And so the doctors really try to make it as comfortable as they can for you in knowing that your dog is or your pet is not going to feel anything. And my doctor actually said, this is the last, how did she say it? Cody will not feel any more pain. And, you know, it was helpful. It's hard, but it's helpful. That's a tough role for them to be in.
Well, you have a sport group coming up on the 22nd, mm-hmm. and where's that going to be?
At the main library in meeting room B.
And people can just come in. They don't have to pre-register or anything like that. It's a support group where, just like any support group, people of those who have been have an experience to help those who come.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And I was trying to think, I don't know how many friends of mine, how many people I know that you say, how come you haven't gotten another dog? How come you haven't gotten another pet? They say it was so painful that they don't want to go through that again. They're sacrificing that companionship, that partnership, that part of the family, because it's that painful that they don't want to. They know that 11 years or 12 years down the line, they have to go through that again. It's that painful.
Yeah, and it was interesting today at the support group how we had a diversity within that, that some folks did, you know, they did have that kind of idea. They didn't want to experience that pain again. And then we had to the other end of the spectrum, where, you know, people were very willing to kind of re-enter into the possibility of loving, you know, again, vulnerably. And so we want to make sure that no matter what a person's experience is, if people aren't able to, we want to make sure that that's okay. That's okay. If you do go out and get another pet, that's okay too. Everybody is going to experience grief and loss in their own way and in their own time, just like you would if it was a loved one. And not that you ever replace a loved one. You're not going to be able to replace one person or one loved one for another, but you're able to make room. You're able to make space as you're able to love again. And we talked about how love is unlimited. Love is unlimited. And even though it makes us very vulnerable and it makes us fearful and sometimes even anxious to think that we're going to love that deeply again, everybody, you know, there's lots of love, and everybody's going to do it in their own way.
I can't remember the movie, but it was kind of interesting. They had a dog, but there was Joey 1 and Joey 2 and Joey 3 and Joey 4. They just had one right after the other. They were all named Joey.
King of Queens.
Yeah. Is that the movie?
King of Queens. King of Queens. Yeah, they just kept buying another dog, and he didn't know it, but the guy, anyway.
But the thing about is, I think with a pet, what we're describing is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And a dog or a pet is that epitomized. I think of, you know, the country station in our group here. One of the songs is, "I wish you would love me like my dog does." And we laugh. Yeah. But that's pretty serious.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That unconditional love. And with children, I referred back to my grandchildren in that. What we teach children through a pet, mm-hmm. That experience of having a pet as a child is something that... that dog or that cat or that rabbit mm-hmm. Or ferret or you name it is a part of the family to that child.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And how it's treated. My dog, I always say, you know, it's half beagle and half cockapoo. We call it a beekapoo. And in an apartment now, you can have a companion, you can have a pet. But it learned that you're not supposed to bark in an apartment. So now when I ask her if it wants to go outside, she sneezes. It's kind of like, how do they know? You know, it's you know, she has a little sneeze that she, instead of barking, you know. But if she sees a rabbit, people run out of the house thinking somebody got ran over by a car because she doesn't bay like a beagle, but she yipes so much. But that's what I'm saying is what dogs and pets teach us. I know that that dog never was yelled at, never was kicked, never was mistreated. But there's so many out there that we see the TV ads. We read about that Chihuahua that was left by the dumpster. I don't know, that newspaper article, the Argus that wrote that up, I don't know how many people that touched. That the dog was put in a little travel cage and set up by the dumpster in freezing cold weather. That says, you know, how we treat each other is something we learn. Now, Christy, you're both, both Christy's both been in seminaries, very, very active in the church. That embodiment of limitless love, unlimited love, that we see in pets, that really could be a sermon, couldn't it?
Absolutely, it could be a sermon. And I think that goes back to what we have been talking about, how pets and loving a pet makes us better people. The other thing I was thinking as Christy Holler was talking about her dog and that decision to put that dog down, you know, as we're thinking theologically, in the Genesis story, lots of times the word about the responsibility that God gives the humans is dominion, which is actually a misnomer. It's really caretaking of. And if we take that seriously, then we are caretakers of these creatures on this earth, all of them. But certainly these domesticated creatures, the dogs and the cats and those we bring into our homes. And as caretakers, we sometimes have to make the hard decisions. And as caretakers, we work for and support people who rescue these animals who aren't treated so well.
I think of that TV ad that's running right now where the dad has to race home with the goldfish before the child gets home from school. You know, we laugh at it. But even a goldfish has that much meaning to us as humans. Christy and Christy and Mary, this support group coming up on the 22nd, are you going to maybe have these on a regular monthly basis? Have you decided yet?
Yeah, I think we're going to start with the first four here, and then we will offer them monthly because people have called and they're not able to make this one. And you know, there is a need, I think, and there's no cost, there's no expectations, there's anything. You just come and create space.
Christy, do you think there'll ever be another dog in your life?
Perhaps. Right now, I'm enjoying the company of two cats who give me so much joy, and I want to relish those moments instead of looking ahead or having a timeline or a time frame to adopt another dog. Right now, two cats will is plenty. Plenty for my life right now.
Well, Christy, you're a songwriter. Do you think there'll ever be a song about Cody?
Well, I did write a song shortly after she passed away called Prince, and it was inspired by a paw print that the vet's office made of Cody after she passed away. I didn't know about it until it was given to me. They made a print of Cody's paw and put her name, carved her name in it, and it inspired this song, Prince. And so I, you know, that kind of honored my memory of her.
I had a friend way back in the early computer days, Windows 95 and that had the idea to have a memorial website for pets and dogs. That for $15 a year, your pet would be immortalized in this website for perpetuity. Mm-hmm. But then Facebook came along. And Cody has a Facebook page. I think a lot of people have their pets on a Facebook page because people do respond to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I've noticed too, ever since this conversation has started about grieving the loss of our pets, just in the last couple of days, it has opened up a conversation with people who've described the life of their pets and when their pets passed away. So we are giving, we're creating this breathing space for them to give them a permission to, hey, it's okay, we can talk about this. And I think it's been helpful.
You can learn how to grieve through your pet, because at one point or another, you're going to have that point in life. So the pet is really doing you a favor in many ways, even in death. Now, I guess, Cody, if people want to see Cody, where's her Facebook page?
Well, Cody is pictured all over my website, as all of my pets are. And I do want to add, too, that I have lost several pets. And so I sometimes feel I don't mention some of the others that, you know, just a year ago, we lost Gypsy, our Siberian Husky. And so all of our losses are hard. And so on my website, you'll see pictures of all of my pets. But on the Facebook page, the Breathing Space Facebook page, Cody is pictured.
We give them remembrance, which I think most human beings, it was the whole theme of the movie Troy, is to be remembered. And I think pets have unlimitless love that... they teach us that in many ways, that there is more after death because they're remembered in how we feel. Christy, if people want to know more about your support group, how can you reach you?
Well, they can reach us on my cell phone, which is 605-999-9361, or you can find us on Facebook with the Breathing Space.
And Christy, you say Cody's on your website. Give us that website address.
ChristyHoller.com.
And Mary, I think we refer many times to companions. Pets now can be an official companion. You can actually save on your rent if they are a companion dog. The psychiatrist will write you a note saying that you should have a companion. Mm-hmm. There's more to this than we're just, you know, joking about.
Absolutely, there is. There are stories. Some of which we've heard recently about rescue dogs that are themselves are rescued, and then they're taught to be companions to people. And I think this is the professional world, the medical world, the psychological world is understanding this power. So it's more now, used to be seeing eye dogs, but now dogs are helping people with emotional challenges, with physical challenges, all kinds of PTSD, all kinds of things. And it's my belief that they're just coming into their own. It's something they've always known to do. And they're just being trained in that energy, and intelligence is being channeled.
Well, a support group that shares a common bond. Mary Mortensen, Christy McLaughlin, Christy Holler of Sioux Falls. Do you think there'll be other support groups in other cities modeled after yours?
They're already there.
I thought so.
There's other cities that are already doing this.
Mm-hmm. What was the first response when people read the Argus Leader article? Did your phone start to ring?
Yes. I think Christy received an email right away. I received phone calls right away. There's a lot of affirmation of what we're doing and the need for it. You know, so many times in life, people need to be given permission to be human, whether that means with our pet companions or other areas of our life that are broken or vulnerable.
Unconditionally. Mary Mortensen, Christy McLaughlin, Christy Howler, our time is going by. I want to thank you for being with us on Forum. Your support group again at the library, 2 o'clock, May 22nd.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on Forum.